TV and the daily BFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so glad you're joining us today. Also joining me just a little bit will be John Ramos. So many things are going on. We're going to get right to it today. I guess you heard recently, maybe you didn't, but in regards to the radical jihadism and all the things that are going on in the nation and the world today, and what we're seeing in the Middle East and the rise of this ISIS and ISIL and Hezbollah and all these different, you know, organizations, you know, basically referred to by some sources as the militant arm of, you know, Islam or the Muslim Brotherhood. And so, you know, we're wanting to be able to defeat this enemy of human beings, of mankind, of America. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, they beheaded, you know, Christians, 21 Christians in the Tripoli Shores we talked about, and they just kidnapped and took like 200 Christians reportedly or allegedly in Syria, and they're threatening to do the same thing. And of all the things that our State Department, in other words, the department which Hillary Clinton used to be over, but presently John Kerry is over, he's Secretary of State, his representative, what he said was that she said that we need to continue to do the physical battle part, but we need to just get them jobs. If they had jobs, then they wouldn't be involved in this jihadist, this radical jihadist activity, quote, holy war, or wanting to behead folks. You know, what they need is a job. As a matter of fact, I want you to see Mary Harf right now saying this so you can see what I'm talking about.
Marie Harf is with the American State Department. Marie, this is getting close. And I think the Italians, you know, who had some land in northern Africa over the years before, are beginning to feel them at their curbside now. And what do we do as Americans when we look at 21 Christians beheaded for the purposes of humiliating us, the Christian world, the Western world? It's aimed at us, those pictures.
Well, I think it just underscores for people that this isn't just a fight in Iraq and in Syria, and that it's not just a fight about dropping bombs on terrorists. It's really how we stop the causes that lead to extremism in a place like Libya. The fact that there's no governance and there's no opportunity for young people, it lets groups like ISIL grow there and flourish there, which is what you saw with this awful situation with these Egyptians that you just mentioned. But this is a longer fight. It's fighting them on social media. Like you just said, these videos they produce are very technical. They're using social media to get converts to their cause and to spread their hatred all over the world. This week, we're going to have over 60 countries here in Washington to talk about how we combat this violent extremism together in the long term, not just in this short term fight.
Well, how do we win? How do we stop this? I don't see it. I see the militias from the Shia militias coming out of Baghdad who are all Shia. The Sunnis hate them. The Sunnis are loyal to ISIS rather than going in with the Shia. You've got the Kurds, the Jordanian Air Force, and now the Egyptian Air Force. But I don't see any. If I were ISIS, I wouldn't be afraid right now. I didn't figure there's no existential threat to these people. They can keep finding places where they can hold executions and putting the camera work together, getting their props ready, and killing people for show. And nothing we do right now seems to be directed at stopping this.
Well, I think there's a few stages here. Right now, what we're doing is trying to take their leaders and their fighters off the battlefield in Iraq and in Syria. That's really where they flourish.
Are we killing enough of them?
We're killing a lot of them, and we're going to keep killing more of them. So are the Egyptians, so are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war. We need, in the longer term, medium and longer term, to go after the root causes that leads people to join these groups, whether it's lack of opportunity for jobs.
Well, we're not going to be able to stop that in our lifetime or 50 lifetimes. There's always going to be poor people. There's always going to be poor Muslims. And as long as there are poor Muslims, the trumpet's blowing, they'll join. We can't stop that, can we?
We can work with countries around the world to help improve their governance. We can help them build their economy so they can have job opportunities for these people. You're right. There is no easy solution in the long term to preventing and combating violent extremism. But if we can help countries work.
So you're looking at the State Department saying, yes, what we need is to improve their economies. We need to get them jobs. See, if they had jobs, they wouldn't believe anymore in Muhammad, in the Quran, in regards to, you know, what the Quran says, you know, smite the neck of the unbeliever to put them in servitude, have them pay the tax, you know, to you. And it's just, it's like So then we tested that theory out. In Oklahoma, which is part of America, we had a particular man, he's 30 years old, by the name of Alton Nolan, who was working for a company, and he was trying to proselytize, convert employees there to Islam. And they didn't want to convert. And that caused a lot of problems, and they had to let him go. Now, he had a job, but the way what he was doing created an environment, reports are, that caused him to lose his job. And the people that didn't convert, guess what he did? He attacked two women in the workplace where he had a job, and he cut her head off and killed her in the workplace. Jobs are not the answer. Take a look at this.
Pat, police are filing formal murder charges today in the beheading of a woman at a food distribution center near Oklahoma City. Investigators say a man, formerly named Alton Nolan, attacked two women and beheaded one of them Thursday, shortly after he was fired from Vaughn Foods in Moore. The suspect reportedly converted to Islam in 2011 and renamed himself Jakeem Yisrael. Reports indicate he may have been fired after an argument about Islam.
After conducting interviews with co-workers of Nolan, information was obtained that he recently started trying to convert some of his co-workers to the Muslim religion.
Yisrael's Facebook page shows support for Muslim extremism. One of his posts shows a beheading with a quote from the Quran saying, "I will instill terror into the hearts of unbelievers, smite ye above their necks, and smite off all their fingertips." Nolan faces charges of first-degree murder and assault and battery.
This is amazing. Secretary of State John Kerry, jobs for radical jihadists is not the answer. He had one, he lost it because of his belief system. He wrote on his Facebook, reportedly, "I will instill terror. I will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. Smite ye above their necks and smite all their fingertips off." I mean, think about this. He had a job. We cannot any longer believe what's going on in regards to, what are you even talking about? Americans need jobs. America needs to be employed. We're living off 1970, 80 wages, supposedly, some reports are. And it's like, what are you doing? What is going on right now? But the mindset of the Secretary of State who threatened, and we had that on VFN TV, he said these words to the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. He said this. He says, sitting in an interview with him, "You don't want a third intifada, do you? You don't want an intifada, do you? An uprising." We said that as a country. And he went there. You have to understand the cabinet. The cabinet, these folks like Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, the Chief of Staff, Valerie Jarrett, all these people we talk about, this is the president. This is his cabinet. They're there to serve him. They don't do anything outside of his permission. They're the extension of him. That's what the cabinet means. And it's like, why is our president telling the whole world, we want to go help you get jobs? We're believing that you have, at the same time, promoting Islam in America. And then we're seeing in the heart of America, in Oklahoma, where this citizen of America who's just doing her job, she did not want to convert to Islam. She didn't want to convert to Islam. And it cost her life. He beheaded her in the workplace in America. And you know what? Some people just call that workplace violence. Like in Fort Hood. Do you remember Fort Hood? When the guy stands up and he yells, you know, Ali Akbar, which is the praise of their God in regards to when he begins to fire, while he's in uniform, begins to fire shots from his gun, shooting with your gun that you purchased for him to be able to defend our country in a uniform that he was wearing to be able to defend our country. And he began to shoot our daughters and our sons and our fathers and our mothers in that room. And for some reason, our president called that workplace violence. And it's like he's not even seeing what's going on. And now we're talking about jobs. Well, what was proven right now, this very moment, is there something else going on? And, you know, God says, you know, he will let us know what's happening, and we kind of see what's happening. But what we got to do is, the answer is not political. The answer is not, you know, we need to convince somebody of something. We need to convince God that we're serious about repentance. We got to convince God to say, you know what, God, you know, I've done wrong. We've done wrong as a nation. We've pushed you out of our schools. We pushed you out of our public square. You know, we ridiculed those who stood up for Israel and all these things that America's doing right now. We've turned marriage upside down on its nose. We turned authority upside down on its nose. We're not even participating in what you gave us, the freedom to be able to participate in elections here. God, we've sinned against you. And you know what? The God that we serve, that's what he wants. This is not sneaking past God. These things are not something that's just sneaking past God. He's aware of all this. He's always in control. The thing is, if we turn our back on God, he lifts his hand off of us. And the hand of God off of us means darkness just kind of comes in and comes from every place you can imagine. But know this, you know, God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? The answer, just in case someone asks you, now you know, is not more jobs. The answer is Jesus Christ. These men and women who have been sold a bill of goods that says if you actually kill someone in the name of your God, you know, Allah, in the direction of Muhammad, through written in the Quran, that you're going to go to heaven. They need to know that God died for them. He gave his son for them. He died so that they wouldn't have to die. And they were known by our love, not by actually hurting someone or killing someone. And it's not that sometimes, you know, you got to go to war and things happen, but in regards to just showing up in the workplace and saying that this is evangelism by cutting someone's head off and trying to get them to convert, that is straight from the pits of hell. It has nothing to do with God. And we need to say, you know what? They're human beings. We need to let them know, hey, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And begin to pray for them. Just like when I think about Kamal Saleem with Qum Ministries. He was one of these. He was a radical jihadist coming to America to begin to do this very same thing. It was just a normal thing, part of the Muslim Brotherhood. But guess what? He met Christians who knew about love. When he got hurt in a car injury. It was a Christian doctor that took him in. We have details about this on the VFN Torch. He gives his whole testimony. And when he saw the love of God, he didn't see criticism. He didn't see legalism. He didn't see, you know, you got to do this, you got to do this. He just saw somebody loving on him. And it caused him to go back and question Allah. It called him to go back and question Muhammad. And he prayed to Allah. He prayed to Muhammad. And guess what? He said, you know what he said? And of course, we say, what? He goes, nothing. He didn't say anything. And then I prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he answered me, and I gave my life to him. The answer for all of us is Jesus Christ. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about what is this net neutrality? In a couple days, maybe even today, they're going to be voting on this, and it's over 300 and something pages that nobody's read. They haven't even put it out, reports are, and they're going to vote on this thing, and it's going to change the internet and change the ability to track everything and everyone as you know it. We got to pay close attention to what's about to happen in America. I'll see you after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can religious material be shared at a senior center? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We have picked up the Purpose Driven Life book, and we've been going through that for the last several months. The director came in and asked us if we were what we were doing, and we just shared that we have this book and we're going through it and discussing it. And she made a comment that we can't have this religious material in this senior center.
Oh, that's absolutely incorrect. We have litigated those cases. These government-funded senior centers are a great place for senior citizens to get together, to have Bible studies and things like that. And it is not legal to suppress the Bible study. So you're clearly within your rights. Let me get you in touch, Norm, with our lawyers here at the ACLJ. We'll assign someone to help you right away. This is an important issue for us, so you hang on the line, and we're going to get you some help.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're actually seeing that jobs are not the answer.
No.
We're seeing that jobs aren't the answer, right?
Right.
And we obviously knew it wasn't. And sometimes we just go, well, yeah, that's kind of nice. You know, it would be cool for everybody to have jobs.
Right.
But if that's not the answer and your responsibility is to resolve the attack on America and human beings, I mean, we got to really focus here.
Right.
And to me, it looks like there's a global vision. The vision is to have a global economy. You know, these borders, you know, whatever George Soros says, these borders, these wars, these things, you know, the financial advisor, I believe, part of the panel for Hillary Clinton exploratory campaign thing or something. Report
allegedly.
No, actually, he is. It was financial, something to do with finances on the, some exploratory thing or something. I think she might be running for an office or something. But from reports are that he was participated in national economies crashing and making money from their their monies
falling.
Yeah, falling down. And so here we are on the edge of potentially he could make some money, I guess, on the thing. But when you think about it, that you know, we see most people, I think about Jersey. Hello to everybody out there in New Jersey. Shout out hello to everybody out there and then in New York and then the other part of New York. You got the city of New York and you got the rest of New York.
That's right.
The farmland. And that, well, I had a train of thought it was going here. I don't know where it went to in regards to jobs. And the global aspect of this thing is they're really seeing things as one world. This is an example in New Jersey, in the city as well. And most, quite a few folks, but cities especially. People grow up their entire life within a couple blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, they don't, they have, you know, they eat at the corner store.
That's right.
They, this is true. They go shop at the corner store. They go to work. They catch a train or something to go to work, but they come right back. And that was the big venture, you know, going out and coming right back. So they spend their whole life within a couple blocks. And you think, well, that's kind of wild. But think about this. It's so funny when people, you know, start having their offices and their homes and stuff. And people start saying, I can't believe that you have an office in your home, which is really wise for a lot of folks. But you look at them, the only thing they're doing differently than the person that has their office and they're working through some telephonics type thing in their home is they're just driving a couple blocks to their office.
Right.
It's not like, it's like
nothing magical.
They see that as adventurous, you know, and they're like, you know, I'm not like you. I'm not homeschooling. I'm putting my kids on a bus and they're going to another place and opening the same book. It's just
right.
Like, but outside of those couple blocks of your life or people's lives is there's a world. And if we don't get a global vision for the church, if we don't get a global view, like the adversary has a global view, that we're global Christians. Think about this. America's population, if you counted every one of us, these rich folks, the richest folks in the world, I believe, our poorest person's richer than 70%. Our poorest person in America is richer than 70% approximately of the entire world's 7-point-something billion folks. But we're only, we're less than 5%. We're almost 4% of the world's population, which means we're like 95% of the world is not here. So we're like living this, we're looking quite often at our block. We're shopping at the American corner store. And this is whole world out here that people that are creating the image and the likeness of God, that God's saying, you know, I saved you in hopes that you would go tell somebody about me. He said that you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go. And he's saving us to go, to be fruitful. You know, yes, he saves us because he wants to be with us forever, but he wants everybody to be with him forever. So we, you know, in this, like, we've been stuck in America at the corner store. We've been shopping and, our global, our little national store here in D.C. is not producing like it used to produce, and everybody's upset with it. But there's other places to shop. I mean, there's a world out there. And since we're not paying much attention to it, and but people who want to organize the world are paying close attention to it. And they see when they have businesses like, for example, Google has businesses all over the world. Facebook has, you know, businesses all over the world. One particular man, John, in Egypt, because they attributed the overturn of the Egyptian Mubarak leadership to social media and Facebook, he named one of his children Facebook.
Wow.
You know, think about that. This is Facebook and this is Yahoo. And you know, it was Facebook, it didn't call them Yahoo. And so And so Facebook, you know, Mark Zuckerberg sees that and he goes, you know, we can make some impact here. I mean, you've done some interviews where he's talking about, you know, seeing the impact, and you're seeing, you know, Google confronting China and, you know, having this Hong Kong China battle about what are we going to do? And we're going to be talking about potentially in this particular program about net neutrality. But these are people that are talking about, you know, you got to start seeing this thing as global. And, you know, forget about business. Think about the universe and think about the creator of the universe. You first have to believe that God exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. But you also have to believe, as Hebrews 11, 3 or 2 says, that he's the creator of the universe. So if our vision is a couple of blocks around our home, our little community, our city, our state, even our nation, even our hemisphere, we're missing it. We're totally missing this thing. Because once you start, what you find out, when people start living within a couple blocks of their existence, they start getting a couple blocks of their existence mentality. In other words, everybody is, I mean, if you go to Jersey, you can go from block to block and you can find there's a whole nationality in this block.
Oh yeah.
And you go to the next block and you can have a whole nationality in that block. And it's like, who told? And the thing is, you just start hanging around only people that are just like you. Just and all like of a sudden you start looking at other people as peculiar when the reality is they're creating the image and likeness of God. In regards to shopping with food, that's pretty cool because John and I would go from nation to nation.
Oh, yes.
You know, it was very good.
Very delicious.
Except for the bakery. That was what was that?
I wish we had video of that day.
I realized you can't run in.
No.
In that. Anyway, so, and so, you know, we got to begin to get a global vision because the people who want to rule the world, who want hegemony, you got to hear hegemony crickets. You got to hear it because people still want, hegemony means people want to rule the world. Trying to rule the world. You know, if somebody says they want, Islam wants hegemony, what they're really saying is they want to control you, rule you, and be over you.
Mm-hmm.
But hegemony is so nice. It's a nice word, isn't it?
You just cover it up, masquerade it.
You highly, highly overrate our education. You got to break it down for us, right?
English. Help us out. Help
hegemony
us out.
Hegemony crickets, they're wanting to rule us. You know, yeah. Hitler wanted hegemony. So many people wanted hegemony. And so you're looking here at, when somebody's saying they want to bring jobs for the world, it reminds me of Workers of the World Unite. Do y'all remember Acorn, the leader of Acorn, a few years back before our current president was in, and I think he was an attorney for him then or whatever. So organizer, community organizer group, and it was a brothers or something that was running. I can't tell you their names right now, but the thing that they were promoting was Workers of the World Unite. And I personally believe, from what they learned in community organizing, that you can run the world if you can organize the worker. And you can get higher revenue base from union dues than they can get from their taxes. And you can have total authority over union dues versus over taxes, because the taxpayer is going to tell you how to actually spend that. But if you just get union dues, you could actually force a new leadership of the world. Wow. So they could shift the money. One of the big scary things for America prior to them letting Utah come in as a state, their concerns were about the Mormon organization, that they were so well organized in regards to to get to heaven, you know, reports are, you got to be able to pay your tithe and to be able to get to these different levels of rewards and all this kind of stuff that they believe. We have a whole segment of that. You can read it, but there's different levels, you know, and that's the reason why they baptize. They baptize the dead because they believe one day they can come down to where the dead are and actually preach the thing. I mean, just, anyway.
Exactly.
But so they were so well organized, because if you say, I mean, look what's happening with Islam. You know, if you don't, you know, if you want immediate heaven, you just got to kill somebody. Radical Islam, not all Islam. And so they were concerned was they were better formed and better organized than the American government. So if they would let the Mormon organization into America, in other words, bring Utah in, because at that time, I believe it was, the governor of Utah, the leader of Utah, was the university,
Brigham Young.
And so it was so well structured, and, you know, you had to give your tithe, and you should give your tithe in the church, but in regards to the organization, in regards to Mormonism. And so they were thinking, like, man, they're better. This is prior to the Commerce Clause and these different things they had going on. So these guys were functioning better-formed finance government than they were. And so they had to change a few things. And so when you look at that, they were organized. They had an organized religion called Mormonism, and they were, America was intimidated about them. You talk about people or not, they were intimidated of a religion. Now look at Islam. And according to those that have been in it, who have now serving the Lord and others like Kamal Saleem, says it's, you got to understand, it's like 80% political, 20% religion. It's a government.
Mm.
It's organized.
Yeah.
It's a taxation. The whole thing is that kind of thing. And so now you look at, is it any different than workers saying, let's organize, let's don't tax people, let's just make them have pay union dues, and we'll take that money and we'll change the world.
Mm.
And so the chant was, I don't know how close we got here, but the chant was, workers of the world, think about that, workers of the world unite. And what is John Kerry's office, which was actually handed to him by Hillary Clinton, who was trained up by Saul Alinsky, who wrote the book Rules for Radicals, who was the sister in the context of being mentored along with at different places, Saul Alinsky, President Barack Obama. This is nothing but just organizing. This is community organizing, world organizing 101. And now why they're saying jobs is because if you can actually get the people paying dues or something of that nature in jobs in the Middle East, you can change the government. As a matter of fact, you can rule the world. We'll be right back.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you, so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Net neutrality. Mm. Net neutrality. Think about that. What does that mean? It's another stupid word that we don't even know what it is. Like all these words, hegemony and net neutrality and up is down and down is up and yes is no and no is yes and black is white, white is black. It's like everything. This is calling evil good and good evil. We are in those days.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is something when you think about what Paul told Timothy. Paul told Timothy about that. And he said, these days are coming. And this is what we got to learn to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Timothy, have nothing to do with them. Now, you can still have a life and you still can, but we're trying to integrate people who hate God, who have called good evil, evil good, up, down, down, up, right, left, right, all that kind of stuff. We're trying to figure out how to juggle all those relationships. And the reality is they don't know God. We need to evangelize. We need to tell them. I hate that word. We need to love on them. We need to just demonstrate to them the love of God. We need to do the things Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to go evangelize everybody. He just went and said, what do you need? That's what we got to start doing. What do you need? And the thing is we don't leave. That's an open-ended question. They might ask us to have to give of ourselves.
Imagine that.
And so, and they, you know, whatever they need, if God's with you and you really mean that, guess what? God, you're partnering with God. And he says, I will work with you to the end. I will work with you confirming my word. And so that's called the presence of the kingdom and the power of God. That's just what we need. We don't need somebody saying, you know, here's five key letters. If you memorize these, you can lead people down the Romans road of whatever. And it's like, Jiminy, they don't even know where Rome is at. So here we are with this word. This word is so huge. I mean, who ever thought that the mark of the beast was going to be called net neutrality?
Right.
You know, how many people, you know, they say, I would never take the mark. And that was 70 marks ago, right?
Right.
We just convince ourselves every time that's not the mark. It's obviously something coming. Somebody says, well, it's not in my hand. It's like, it's in your pocket. Anyway, so, but you think about this, that, you know, when you download a program or you get something on your computer or something like this, it has all this, you know, read this. If you accept these policies, you can use our program or you can use our online type thing. I mean, and I watched the long 2 or 3 hour conference of the people who write that stuff.
Stuff that's so on your apps on the iPhone.
Yeah, it's like 70,000 pages, you know. And, you know, you can read it, you know, and they say, have you read this thing? And people lie and they go, yes, and they click it. Do you agree with this? Without even knowing it. And they say yes. And then they go on through and they just start using the program. It's sort of like healthcare. You know, we didn't read it. Nobody read it. And they said, just click on through. And so your leaders, our leaders said, click, 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 click. Boom, we have healthcare. What is it? We don't know. We got to read it. We had to click yes before we read it. And now, right now, net neutrality, there is the FCC, the Federal Communication Commission, who determines, who presently is determining what you're going to see on TV, what you're going to hear on radio. And now they're wanting to control the internet. Presently, the internet's owned by the guy in the lemonade stand up the street. It's a private industry. Look what's happened to it being a private industry. And they don't like that. It's totally outside their control. They could have had a better narrative in all this darkness that they're doing right now in the world if, in fact, they had control over the internet. Our president, and I even believe Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, was talking about turning it over to the United Nations. Like, what? What? Turn it over to the United Nations? What are you talking about? Turn over private industry to the United Nations? So understand that that's, you're looking at one world government. You're looking at just, you know, it's all working towards that way. Like I said, we know the news. We're just trying to change it. We're, you know, that, you know, Josiah knew the news. God told him what was going on, King Josiah. But then he cried out to God and he changed the news. God said, I'm going to postpone this destruction, this time of trouble coming on Israel because you repented. That's what we mean about changing the news. Well, this is the news. On the 27th, which is, or 26th, is tomorrow. 26th. Tomorrow. We're going to give you a phone number to be able to call the White House. You need to call the White House, your Congress people. Don't assume you know what they're going to do, but the number is 202-456-1111. 202-456-1111. You want to tell them, do not vote positive or yes on net neutrality. In other words, say, but tell them, ever how you're wording, they could change the wording before you know it. Just say this. Get away from the internet.
Leave it alone.
Realize it's, leave the lemonade dude alone on the stand. Just, it's happening. You know, just let it alone. They're using words like, hey, we want the internet to be able to bring you love and bring you a financial future. We want to be able to give you things that you'll never have to work again the rest of your life. That's all we want to do is like, what are you even talking about? They just give you all these
like the great job they're doing with the post office right now. I mean, that's not. I mean,
yeah.
They're not. It's working fine right now without any government regulation, and it's freedom where you can exercise your rights to say and whatever you want.
Yes. So let's quickly go through. I want you to see this because they're in the Holocaust. They're in the days they wanted hegemony. That Hitler wanted hegemony. He wanted to be able to eventually work his way to gathering up all the Jews and the unwanted and the Christians who didn't buy into his Bible because he rewrote the whole Bible.
Yes.
And Putin is following that verbatim nationalism mm-hmm. today. And so he eventually put a tracking number on every Jew, a star, and he began to tattoo the number. You got to see, I want you to see this because this is a reunion of these guys were teenagers when they were under people who wanted hegemony. And they put a tracking number on them. And I'm going to connect these things with net neutrality and what's taking place. Watch this.
65 years ago, Menachem Sholowich and Ansel Sheratzky were terrified teenagers, standing one ahead of the other in Auschwitz, having serial numbers tattooed on their arms. Sholowich was B14594. Sheratzky was B14595. The two Polish Jews had never met. They had never spoke. And they were quickly separated. Yet each survived the Nazi death camp, moved to Israel, married, and became fathers and grandfathers. Today, they have been reunited after stumbling upon each other through the internet.
It's something unbelievable that all the three of us, we stand in Auschwitz together and we are here together.
The twist of fate doesn't end there. Two brothers who were with them in the tattooist line have made contact since hearing of the story. One of the brothers joined them for an emotional reunion Sunday at Israel's Holocaust Memorial, Yad Vashem. When Sholowich saw the number on Sheratzky's arm, he rolled up his sleeve and discovered their connection.
It's a unique story, and it's rare. And even for me, who works here for years, it's something that you can't remain with your eyes dry when you see it, because it's fascinating.
The meeting comes a day before Israel marks its annual Holocaust Remembrance Day, commemorating the 6 million Jews murdered in World War II.
Here at Israel's Holocaust Memorial, the men who have not seen each other for decades embrace and catch up on old memories, such as traveling on trains such as these during the Holocaust. Each man's life story now includes a chapter he shares with the others, bound together forever by the numbers inked deep into their skin. Aaron Heller, The Associated Press, Jerusalem.
You're looking at the numbering system. These guys are alive today. This is not like 70 million years ago. They were teenagers. So hello, teenagers, if you don't think that you could be tracked and that would
hello.
People that would want to do these things. And I want you to see this too, because I want to show how this thing connects. So realize the reason why they put numbers on them, other than the humiliation to be known for a number other than a name, was to be able to track them. This is number whatever. As a matter of fact, take a look at this movie called Trailer Ball called Number, just a clip of it, so you can see what I'm talking about. It was many, many, many.
My number is B11647.
A11898. That I can't say in Hebrew.
אני לא אומר שזה צלקת, בשבילי זה מדליה.
So you're looking at, this is a reality. These folks are alive today. So what I'm telling you about hegemony and that men, to be able, for men to be able to control things, they're not God. So they have to have some sort of tracking system. Guess what net neutrality is? You got to hear this. I want you to hear Mark Cuban,
owner of the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes, and what he said on an interview yesterday with Glenn Beck.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's like a call. It's like a college, you know, radio program, right? It's like, hey, our today's program is going to be.
Now this is the most exciting dude around. Right?
I know what happened.
He gets up in the morning and he looks at his toothpaste and goes,
I'm so excited. And then he rubs his hands together and he comes on the radio. He's like, rewarding. Well, I just want to say
No comment. We'll just leave it there.
And no comment.
Like, and he still won't say that.
I was like, I don't know.
Come back to us.
Come back, Sanguine.
Sanguine. It's what it is because the personality conference hasn't happened yet. Once he teaches it, then he can watch
then
it.
Then he wakes up.
Yeah, we're just waiting for him. We're figuring, you know, by the time we're like 1,000 years in heaven, you know, and it's like, we know already we're in heaven. We have the mind of Christ. And I was like, we got it. You're a Sanguine. Right. Do you remember the day that you found out you were a Sanguine? Do you remember that?
Yes.
You were in such deep denial that life was over your head.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was melancholy.
Right. Oh, and only a Sanguine could convince himself of that.
Yeah, right. Only a Sanguine.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So, how does the Holocaust, how does a tracking system, how does all this connect? It connects. You know, the Lord spoke to me in a vision, a dream, and he showed me in this dream, it was a whole bunch of sitting in, what do you call those things?
Pods, cubicles.
It was pods. If you work in a city or you work in, where there's a lot of people that work there.
Big company.
Yeah, big companies that, let me find the specific dream. And he spoke to me about it and showed me that we were all kind of gathering data. Every one of us was just entering data. And remind them not to staple my notes. And so you're just entering everybody's stuff, social security numbers and date of births and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden it came. And this is a dream. This is a dream. It's like a vision, night vision. So I'm realizing they are gathering all this information on us.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 50 years ago. This is just recently God's showing me this. But we weren't at liberty to. For some reason, you just couldn't openly say in this huge office, hey, they're tracking us. You know, there's some reason you couldn't do that. But every one of us had a bulletin board right by our desk, you know, our little cubicle thing or whatever. And so I tried to communicate with everybody there what was going on covertly off of my bulletin board. And so I wrote on the bulletin board from all this data gathering that God is showing us. I wrote on the bulletin board, and the number of his name is 666. Talking about the beast economy, and the dream ended. Of course it's going to be convenient. Of course it's going to be. I mean, comfort and convenience right now is the biggest adversary of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about to change. And so we have, okay, you just saw what happened at the Holocaust with people who wanted hegemony, wanted to rule the world. They began to put tracking numbers. And that day they had to write down the numbers on a ledger sheet to be, you know, it was that difficult to be able to track folks. But now it's a little bit easier to track people. And now you have the net neutrality. Net neutrality is they're wanting everybody to be able to have access to the internet. Everybody to be able to have access to it. And they want everything to have its own identifier, like this bottle of water to have identifier, this mouse to have an identifier, me to have an identifier. I'm probably your heart will have one, and then your lung will have one. Tunnel. Everything has a URL identifier thing. They want to, because they can track it. So you'll walk into your home. This is what the CEO of Google says. We're talking about the chip in your head. He says you'll be able to walk into your home, and your home will just be alive around you, basically, and knowing where everything's going. That means somebody else could know that too. So when you hear Cuban talking to Grunlin Beck, he's asking him questions about what does all of this mean. Watch this.
It's not inconceivable, and I would tell you that someone will sue and it will become likely that they'll say you have to combine all that bandwidth together. So if you're getting 100, to make it easy, 6 megabit channels of HD, that's 6 gigabytes. That's 6 gigabytes if you say, you know what, you can't just deliver all that for television. We want to open that up to the internet so all the Glenn Becks and Blazes can deliver their over-the-top video in an equal manner. Now all of a sudden you have 6.1 gigabits available in this example.
You have to fracture it to everything.
Yeah, and it's just open internet. Now all of a sudden your traditional television, so if I'm getting Blaze on my big bad cable, you know, provider, might start buffering. And I probably need new equipment in my home that maybe the government is going to force you to buy, but it gets worse, right? So now if all video delivered could be perceived as television, right, because it's all in the same pipe, bits are bits. No matter what anybody says in government, no matter what any technologically savvy person says, bits are bits. They don't care if it's text, data, or video, whatever it is, it's just a bit. And you have your pipe that's allocated in different ways, you know, through a lot of different mechanisms. But net neutrality at its base says all that data should be delivered together and no one should have priority. So if there's no priority for television and it's just part of the open internet and delivery, your traditional television watching the evening news,
it's over.
It's over, right? Either A, you're going to have to get new equipment in order to make it all be part of
one. I'm actually for this in concept. I hate the way it's being done, but it would force you actually, wouldn't it force the cable companies to allow me to do everything a la carte? There's no reason I have 500 channels. I don't want to pay
for
500 channels.
No, yes, you do. Yes, you may not want 500, but you want it in bundles. Otherwise, the
money.
It gets very expensive. And look at the music industry, right? So when everything is a la carte, the expense doesn't come in creating the content, right? The expense comes in marketing the content. So we could take a phone, and you and I can sing Sinatra, and maybe it's just the best song ever, but in order for it to get heard, we have to compete with everybody. And when you're in an open market like that, and it's a la carte, sure, a couple songs sneak through and becomes hits, but the big four music labels still control 70%. I saw something on Billboard that it was a higher percentage of record sales or music sales today than it was in 1998. Because the cost to stand out is so much more expensive.
Right, but doesn't Comcast, Universal, NBC already control, the big four already control most of the content?
Well, yes and no, right? Because I would tell you that Netflix subsidizes all that content now. And without Netflix, that same content isn't being created. And there's a unique dependency on Netflix. And that you look at the turnover, you know, I'm on a show that keeps on growing, Shark Tank, right? Because it's a great show, but they put us on
NBC.
On ABC, yeah. And they put us on Friday nights because they thought we were going to die, because it used to be Friday nights was a day to go. It's point being that it's hard to know which content's going to stand out and rise to the top. But let's keep on going on the conclusion. So if everything is funneled through the open internet, and let's just say it's a la carte, right? Now all of a sudden, you see a different set of rules potentially being applied. I guarantee you that the FCC met the same organization that fought for 8 years over Janet Jackson and their wardrobe malfunction. Mm-hmm. 8 years to enforce that. There's going to be somebody that comes along and says, you know what, we need decency standards applied to all the content on the internet, because now that is coming through the same pipe and it's open to everybody. We need education requirements. Remember, Bill Clinton said you had to have a certain amount of educational content.
You have the fairness doctrine again.
In a lot of respects, yes, applied to the internet. So this goes into the law of unexpected consequences or unintended consequences, that you don't know what's going to happen when all these things change. And, you know, you talk about Twitter, you would think companies like Twitter and Facebook have thought through the technological aspects of it. I don't think they have. And so all of a sudden, if there is no such thing as a prioritized bit, then all that digital television going through the same pipe, all those voters who like to get Fox News or MSNBC, they're going to freak out, you know, because you're going to have to go to their website to get it, or you're going to have a special box that identifies the channels.
So you're that's a business viewpoint. But this is the shocker in that interview. You could see the whole interview. We'll make it available to you, or at least access to it on the VFN Torch. So all these things that Cuban's talking about, so Glenn asks them the question.
Mm-hmm.
So will it pass? Will they vote for it? He goes, oh, yes. I mean, it wasn't like, well, I think so. It was like, oh, yes,
it's going to happen.
And you have to understand that that's a business viewpoint. But what they're wanting is they want every single, there's a reason why everybody was given a phone through the food stamps program. It wasn't for whatever people said it was. You can be tracked with a phone. You can be communicated directly with a phone. You can actually do business now with a phone. You can bank with your phone. You can actually do everything with your phone. I mean, in law enforcement, there was a day that you had to, you know, I was coming from a law enforcement experience. They put you on house arrest, and they would strap something like your phone to your leg, and they called it house arrest, and they would follow your dot. And if your dot moved outside of your house, they would know it, and they would send the police. But now people pay money for their dot to track them. But you think about this, Revelation chapter 13, verse 15 through 18. This is what he says about this mark of the beast, because you can track everything now. And people like George Soros and these people that want a world economy and trying to find jobs for the radical jihadists in the Middle East, it's like, what are you doing?
Really?
Workers of the world, unite. Business is the key. Watch this. It's an economy thing. Revelation 13, 15 says, the second beast was given the power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refuse to worship, in other words, put it first, the image to be killed. That's happening in all things. It also will force all people, great, small, rich, poor, free, or slave, to receive a mark on its right hand and its forehead so that they could not buy or sell its economy unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast. The mark is the name of the beast and the number of its name. He says in 18, he says, this calls for wisdom. We've got to really get wise. We can't walk ignorantly through these days. He said, let the person who has insight calculate the number of his name, the number of the beast, which is the number of man, which is 666. And we're going to put a related link on there about something the Lord showed John sometime back about the economy falling, and the six was the specific thing of it. That of all the things that Islam demanded in booty from America when Thomas Jefferson was president, was $666,000 to release American slaves in our third presidency. We have to awaken this whole thing about net neutrality. You need to call the White House. You need to tell them to vote. Tell them we don't want this net neutrality. Keep your hands, the government, hands off this. We don't need government being tyrannical and controlling folks. You don't need to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be there to be for the people, a government by the people and for the people. I want to pray for you. We have more information about this on The Torch, but we need to pray about this, that God would just give you wisdom and help us through these days. And just Father God, we just come to you right now. And we just see all this, but we're dependent upon your leadership in our life. You said, Lord, those that are led by your spirit are sons of God. Lord, and I pray for your people, God, to be touched in a special way, that you would begin to abide with God and follow the leading of the spirit, that no matter what happens, the Lord will lead you in the paths of rightness, righteousness for his name's sake. I pray protection, Father God. Give us wisdom, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we tried to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.